Welcome to EduFaith Essentials, an educational podcast that provides essential information and tips about education, leadership, and diverse learners. I'm your host, Dot Nakia, and thank you for joining me again. The mission of EduFaith Essentials is to bring positive awareness and promote equity and inclusion in education by sharing information about topics about non-traditional learners. The goal is to restore faith in education one student at a time by empowering viewers and listeners with knowledge. We all know that knowledge is power, so let's be powerful. So I want to start off with the Educate Faith inspirational story. And this story is titled Special Needs Santa. And this story is about Brian Dixon, and he's a 27-year-old client in a day program. This story came out of Colorado Springs, out of a local news story. And he works for the day, or he is a part of the day program called Special Kids, Special Families. And he is bringing holiday cheer to families at every house for special needs adults that he visits during the days leading up to the holidays. Dixon, he does have an intellectual and developmental disability, and he carries his oxygen tank wherever he goes. And he accompanies employees for the nonprofit organization Special Kid Families, which supports people with disabilities from early childhood up until adulthood. Those close to Brian say that he is the best Santa. He is always patient. He greets every client with a smile, and he is eager to listen to the earful of good things that the clients have done over the past year as they await their visit from Santa. So I wanted to just spread a little cheer. This is the season. So this is such a sweet story out of the Colorado Springs newspaper for Brian and the Special Needs Santa and the organization Special Kids Family. Also, my second story I wanted to share is it is December, and December 2nd is Special Education Day. December 2nd is National Special Education Day, which commemorates the signing of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act into law back in 1975. IDEA granted access to special needs to that free and quality public education. According to the National Center of Education Statistics, in 2020 and 2021, the number of students from ages 3 to 21 who received special education services under IDEA was 7.2 million, which is approximately 15% of public school students. Nationwide, districts have celebrated December 2nd as Special Education Day or National Special Education Day, and some of those celebrations include Special Olympics, pizza parties, and other celebrations. There was even this district in this place called South Perry, and they had this Project Search, and it was just a great story. So if you want to learn more about all the stories and all the celebrations, take a look at this link right here, and it shares all the information about some of those wonderful celebrations for National Celebration Day on December 2nd. And that has been our EduFaith inspiration, spreading a little holiday cheer and spreading a little cheer. So in our essential news, I want to bring up some information. So the Office of Special Education introduces IDEA discipline and behavior requirements, and it's going to be a blog series. So this is dated December 8, 2022. Valerie C. Williams, Director of the Office of Special Education Program, introduced a blog series to explain topics of interest related to discipline and behavior guidance. It's set to be released. The blog series is set to be released summer of 2023, and it would expound on topics such as exclusionary discipline, informal removals, discipline disparities, and behavior as part of a free and appropriate public education. The series will also feature resources for stakeholders to encourage a shift to address challenging behaviors proactively, positively, and preventatively. Those are the three P's. So if you want to find out more information about the upcoming blog, which will be introduced next summer or this summer, 2023, please take a look at this site and gather information. I think this is great for educators and leaders and even parents as we try to be proactive and address discipline issues for our students with disabilities. Also released, Congress, this is good news. This happened in December. So Congress released information of a bipartisan spending package for the 2023 school year. In that year, the fiscal year officially began October 1st. But the year-end agreement includes appropriation as well as additional priorities. And with that, they will increase funding spending by $3 million, which is significantly less than the proposed amount, but it is more than last year's. So nearly $1 billion of that funding will be directed towards programs that supports infants, toddlers, children, and youth with disabilities and personnel who support them. So like I said, that's almost twice the increase that special education received for the 2022 fiscal year. So Congress is shifting some funds to help support special education and special needs and inclusion under IDEA in children and families. So that is great news. We all need more funding. We know that our programs that we need for our students with disabilities need, you know, all that support. So I'm just glad that Congress is doing that. If you want to find out more information about that bill and the increase in funding, you can check out this link right here. So let's dive into our essential knowledge. This is one of part two of the special education services. In my first webcast, I talked about the definition of special education and the different categories. Today, we're going to talk about special education and the individual education plan and some of the services that students receive under special education. So let's just dive right on in. The individual education plan, that's part of PL 94-142, and that's the document that actually documents those services for students with disabilities. So the IEP has two main purposes, is to address the child's unique abilities and needs, and then to document how that child with a disability would access that general education curriculum. It is a mandated document, and it supports those services and how those students, it documents how students will receive special education services. So let's go back to the foundation. Let's go back to the law. So the law comes from Public Law 94-142, and National Special Education, they actually commemorated the day that that law was signed into place in 1975. That's where the whole special education, National Special Education Day comes from. But PL 94-142, which was originated in November 1975, actually originated the IEP, which is a document that document the child's individual needs and their needs for the special instruction to provide and meet a child with a disability's needs. The IEP utilizes data from assessments, questionnaires, and other measures to address learning goals, present levels, all types of information to document those services that a child will receive under special education. So Public Law 94-142 is now the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. So when we look at the IEP, here are some of the parts of the individual education plan. So the first part is the present levels of performance. And this is the blueprint of an IEP. This provides a lot of the assessment data. It talks about the impact of the disability, a child's strengths, a child's weaknesses. So all that evaluation data is usually encompassed in the present levels of performance of the IEP. So if you ever want to know why a child is receiving services or what the data says, you look into that present levels of performance section of the IEP to find out that information. And I do want to point out that a lot of this information is in my book. It's in chapter 3, which I talk about the IEP. And I break down this information specifically, the individual education plan, and it starts on page 33. So let's go through the rest of the IEP. So another part of the IEP, and I'm actually going to read something from my book. So the exclusionary factors, and this is the part of the IEP that determines whether there are certain factors that impact that child's learning when you're looking at the need for special education services. So the purpose of it is to serve the needs of the child, but then rule out certain situational factors. They may influence grade level performance. So background, language barriers, just things like that. Another part of the IEP is the exclusionary factors. And that's what that part is, just looking at what factors we can exclude to determine if that child needs services. Goals and objectives are very important in the IEP. And goals are those statements and those measurable statements based on that data of what that child will accomplish. And those goals are tracked over time. So it's actually a learning goal that is aligned with that student's deficit that will determine how that child will receive progress in their plan. So goals are measurable general statements, and they identify the deficits and they use data and they must be tracked over time. So every child should have some IEP goals that addresses their learning and those deficits of the reason why they're getting the IEP. Also, objectives are also, some districts have objectives, some districts don't, but objectives are measurable statements that are aligned with that goal. So the goal might be there and then objectives might be a sub part of the goal, which actually specifies different information regarding the child's measurable goal. Supportive aids and services are those services that are provided through a child in a general education class or special education class. And they're provided in different academic settings, extracurricular, non-academic settings. And so those supportive aids and services are services that's provided to that child to help them receive their free and appropriate public education in all classes. Related services are additional services to help support the child with their goals, accommodations, modifications, adaptations. That's that information that's also provided as part of the supportive aids and services. So accommodations might be things that the teachers do in the gen ed or the special education classroom where they provide no support. So there are accommodations, there are modifications, and then there are adaptations. And I talk about those specifically in my book. Related services are those additional services that are provided. For instance, some related services might be transportation, physical therapy, occupational therapy. So those supports that are provided to that child to help them reach their educational goal. Placement and the extent of services, those are also documented in the IEP. So IEPs usually state how that child will receive their educational services and how it will look as supported, how it will look aligned with their participation with their non-disabled peers. And then the placement talks about where they will receive their education, whether it will be in a general education class or a special education class or a combination of both. So those things are also highlighted in the IEP. Other factors include extended school year. Extended school year is a service that's provided a lot of times for students who demonstrate regression over time. So it's not summer school, but once some students, because of the impact of their disability, they may regress when there are long breaks. So when there's long breaks, the school district might provide extended school year as an option to help support that student with those services or help support with that regression that may happen during those long extended breaks of not having instruction during long academic periods. Transition plans are also very important in the IEP. Students at age 16 begin to become more aware of their education. And so those transition plans come into place when students turn 16. And it talks about post-secondary goals, employment, and what that child is going to do once they graduate from high school. So that's the transition plan. And then age of majority, that conversation usually happens when a student is about 17 years old. The district will talk about how at age 18, that student will transfer their rights. So they will take ownership of their education and they'll have their own educational rights at age 18. So the age of majority usually happens during that 17th. When the child is 17, that IEP meeting, and that happens and the parent is a part of that meeting to just talk about the transition. Once that student is 18, they will be in charge of their own education and make those decisions on their own behalf. So let's talk about the individual education plan and the process. So when a child is identified with special education, they're identified usually through child find or some type of placement. I mentioned this in the other webcast. So there's usually a service or an intervention team meeting. The school teams meet and then the child is evaluated and they use all of that data to determine if that child meets criteria for special education. The evaluation results determine the IEP and if that student needs special education services. If that child is eligible, then that team will meet. They will have that. They will go through all that data, and then they will generate an individual education plan to meet that student's needs using all those components that I just mentioned regarding the IEP. Services are provided. Progress is measured. So those goals will be generated based on that child's deficit. And then based on that, progress will be measured, whether it's quarterly, every 4 weeks, every 9 weeks, whatever the school decides. And the goal progress will be measured and provided to the parents in some form. The individual education plan is reviewed every year. And then every 3 years, the team comes together again to determine if that child continues to meet services under the state criteria for special education. So after the evaluation, the law requires that the teams meet. They discuss the data. As part of the team members, IEPs have specific team members. So those team members include a local education agency representative, usually an administrator or the lead teacher or someone who's supporting the district, the local education agency. There's a special education teacher that's going to be at the meeting. A lot of times that's the case manager. There's usually a general education teacher at the meeting. That person talks about the general education setting, the standards and the curriculum. They provide the expertise. Parents are part of the meetings. And then there may be other related personnel or personnel at the meeting. If that student receives occupational therapy services, physical therapy services, or anything like that, sometimes psychologists are at the meeting. So just whoever can speak to that child. The IEP is updated annually, and all districts have processes for these services. So if you're in doubt, make sure you ask questions, because every district has a process of how they do special education placement. Student services and placement may occur. And like I said, it talks about how that child is going to receive those services in the least restrictive environment with their non-disabled peers. So for parents, I just want you guys to be active team members. Make sure you're going to get your rights and, you know, get all that information. And then the categories for special education are speech, other health impaired, developmental delay, autism, emotional behavior disorder, deaf or hard of hearing, specific learning disabilities, language impairments, orthopedic impairments, mild and moderate disability, severe and profound disability, and traumatic brain injury. And like I said, teams meet every year to update the IEP and then every 3 years to determine services. Now let's talk about some special education service and placement options. Check 5, 4. Let's talk about some special education service and placement options for our students. So these are the services that a child will receive once they're eligible for special education services, which means this is how they're receive their free and appropriate public education based on their needs. So the first service I want to go over, and I'm reading it straight from my book, Essential Tips for Parents of Students with Disabilities, and I highlight this on page 37, so I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis over it. So the first is general education, and this is where a student receives their services in the gen ed environment with no support from any special education personnel. The second service is additional support services, and this means a child with a disability receives services from others besides a special education teacher in the general education class. For instance, the student may receive services from a paraprofessional or a job coach or an interpreter, and with additional supportive services. Consultative services, or we call it consult, that's where a student receives direct services from the special education teacher in the regular ed classroom based on the IEP team decision. So the team will determine how much that special education teacher will serve that student in the general education class. Collaborative services are defined as services from a special education teacher in the regular education class for less than 100% of the time. The next service is co-taught. My son actually got co-taught services. And he also has some general education services. So co-taught services are services, direct services from the special education teacher in the regular classroom or general education classroom for 100% of the segment in the classroom. The next level is direct services instruction or small group. And direct services or small group are services that are provided within the special education environment in the special education classroom by the special education teacher. And usually that student is in a class with other disabled peers. So that's what we call small group or direct instruction. There are also other services that I talk about in the book. I talk about home-based instruction, which is a service that's provided in the home for students on a short-term basis based on an IEP team decision. A lot of states have that service. And hospital homebound, which is a service for students who are medically fragile, who are too sick to come to school. So there may be a special education teacher that actually comes in the home and delivers services so many hours per week. And then other students may receive residential placement where they're actually in a residential facility with the special education teacher getting services on a full-time basis. And then there's a separate day school or program service where a child receives special education services from a special education teacher in a separate school or separate program. So those are our services for students with disabilities under special education. So I want to provide my essential tips now. So essential tips. Remember, special education as a service is a service for all students, and all students are considered general education students first. So we don't have special education students. all students are general education students, and they receive services under special education, and they receive those services based on their needs in the least restrictive environment. So here are my tips for parents. Parents, I always say this, you're your child's first teacher. So provide that valuable information about your child. Give that background knowledge. Bring whatever strategies or information you can bring to the table so the team can decipher and determine what's the best way to serve or provide services for your child. I want you to be active team members, parents. Remember, you have a voice. Ask questions about special education services. There are a lot of services under the umbrella. I went through a couple of those services. So if you're not clear on something, ask questions. Ask questions, clarify. If you can't think of anything, maybe write your questions down. If you go to a meeting and you go back and you reflect and you're unclear on something, write your questions down, email the teacher, contact the teacher, or you can write your questions down ahead of time. So ask questions, write them down before or after the meeting, and find the answers that you need so you can get those services that are best for your child. And then use the district's resources and support. So find out what resources or supports are available. A lot of districts have parent liaisons and just other services and resources for parents. So ask questions, seek knowledge, and then remember that you're your child's first teacher. So be that active member and provide the information. So for my simple tips for special education for educators, I want you guys to actively foster inclusion in your classroom. We have to include all students. Attend those meetings and provide that content and that teaching expertise. If you're a history teacher, you know the history standards, you know the history curriculum, and you know what it looks like in a general education curriculum. So you could talk about what can be provided for that child who is receiving services under special education. So bring your expertise, your teaching methodology, bring everything that you can to that meeting and be an active team member and be engaged. And then my leaders, I want to encourage you to be active and involved, even if it means supporting your teachers. So like my last webcast, I talked about, you don't have to be an expert, but you do have to have some general knowledge of IDEA practices and be able to provide the services and support so your teachers can work with students, all students. And you support your special education teachers, your parents, and have that culture. So foster an inclusive culture in your school. And then finally, leaders, my tip for you, and I'm a little biased, is read the Essential Tips for Special Education Leaders book. That book is a great book. It is a resource. It is on Amazon. So that'll give you a lot of information for you to actually use in your practice of leadership. And that's it up there at the top corner. So books are excerpt from today. What I'm going to do as far as the books excerpt, I want to just point out a couple of books that I have that can help you level up and increase your knowledge. So I already mentioned Essential Tips for Special Education Leaders. There's also Essentials of the IEP 101, and it provides a brief overview of special education or the individual education plan. It's less than 50 pages. And then I read a lot of information to you from Essential Tips for Parents. So what I am going to do, I'm going to read a little bit of an excerpt from pages 40 and 41, which talks about the least restrictive environment. And all of these books are available on Amazon, so grab your copy. The goal of the IEP team is to provide services in the least restrictive environment, which means educating a child with non-disabled peers. Here's a general flow of the least restrictive environment decision process. The present levels of performance, developing the IEP goals, determining whether the goals and objectives can be taught and mastered in a general education setting, determining accommodations, personnel supports, the settings, and determining alternative placement or community settings when the regular education setting cannot address that student's goals and objectives, and then determining what opportunities will be provided for that child to interact with non-disabled peers. Parents are afforded rights under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Those rights are usually the same throughout the district. Districts must provide these rights to parents and usually provides these rights to parents. Here, and then I provide some foundationals on page 41 of the Parent Education Rights under IDEA. So that'll be a great read for you just to familiarize yourself with that. So I just read about the least restrictive environment and parent rights. Usually they do provide, teams usually provide parents copies of rights or offer their rights at every IEP meeting. And then just talking about that least restrictive environment and the process and how you use that present levels of performance of the IEP to determine the services and the flow of services for the least restrictive environment. So now it's time for our essential advice. I want to hear that message. You got mail. So if you have, I want to use this platform to support anyone, fellow educators, families, community members, businesses, anyone who wants to know more about special education, diverse learners, Section 504, ESOL, RTI, multi-tier system of support, leadership, and just general education. So if you have any questions, please feel free to email me. And you want some type of advice, email me at edufaithforall@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you, read your letter on the air, and maybe your letter will help others. Quote for today, parents of children with special needs create their own world of happiness and believe in things that others cannot yet see. Author unknown. As parents of students with disabilities, we have to find that inner strength, to find the best and that gift and that talent in our child. And as parents, we have to foster that gift and show it to others so others can see that world of happiness that your child has. Because special need, having a special child with special needs is a gift, and it's a great gift. And you have to create your own world of happiness and believe in those things that others can't see. And then you have to show others those things in the world as well, because we all want the best for our children. So that's our quote for today. And as a parent of a child with disability, I definitely spread knowledge, and I had the happiness, and I believe in things that others couldn't see in my child. And it came out over time. It came over in fruition, and he's doing great. If you need services and assistance with any college and career readiness programs, professional development, one-on-one coaching about education, diverse learner topics, anything inclusion, specializing in ESOL, IDEA, Section 504, reach out to my business, www.edufaithconsulting.com. I want to encourage everyone to get essential, get copies of these books. To my believers, be blessed. And to all others, be well, be kind, and lead the change. I thank you guys for supporting me. I thank you for listening. You can follow and listen to these podcasts on all podcast platforms. Follow me on Edge of Faith Essentials. I will have maybe one or two podcasts a month for you. The next one I will cover will be a continuation of the overview of special education. And in that section, I'll talk about some more topics related to special education, because it's such a large topic. Sometimes we have to break things down into size of a part. So I'll see you soon. Have a great day.